while they're financing the terrorist movement throughout the world, why would you finance the very movement that, of course, you're organizing your society to combat? In fact, you're taking away the freedom of the American people in the name of fighting terrorism. Or maybe it's simply all a scam as we move towards the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Go right ahead, Billy.
Well, and that's just it. And that's a phrase that I use over and over again. You know, people are more apt to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear than in a time of peace. And if you notice, everything that's going on the planet is crisis. Everything's a crisis. We've got an economic crisis. We've got a child care crisis. We've got a health care crisis. Everything's crisis. Terrorist crisis. The whole nine yards. And, you know, all of it's designed to, you know, if you create a crisis, then you can manage the outcome. You know, because people, again, you get them all freaked out. They have a tendency to, you know, hey, guarantee my security for me. I'll give you up some of my freedoms if you just guarantee that I'll be okay. And anybody who studies history knows that that's just a common technique. But on back to the Antichrist kingdom, what kind of technology needs to arise if he's going to pull off this global reign? Well, another aspect is the global economy is clearly that's used there. And do we see any sign of that? Absolutely. We now have in place the technology for a truly global currency. For the first time in man's history, again, this is what makes it so different. The economists right now, with all the stuff that's going on, in fact, it's nothing new. They've been calling for it for quite some time. They're calling for a global currency right now. And you think, well, how in the world are they going to pull that off? You know, everybody's got all this different, monetary means and stuff. Well, what people don't realize is we're quickly, and they've been coaxing us and moving us towards a cashless society. If you have a cashless society, then who cares about the different, monetary transactions? You know, it's all electronic now. It wasn't that long ago that if we didn't have any money on us, then don't worry, you could write a check. And then, well, hey, if you don't have the money to write a check, then don't worry, just charge it to your credit card. But, don't worry, if you don't want to pay the interest on your credit card, then take it out of your checking account with your debit card. And now they're combining all these features into one called a smart card. And the smart card is what's being called the new digital cash, or electronic purses, if you will. In fact, experts are saying, and this is a direct quote, smart cards will soon be the world's first truly universal currency. You see, if it's all electronic, then that is truly universal because you already have the technology in place to, with the means of communication. And now if you can get your economic means, the monetary means, electronic as well, you truly have a global currency. Now here's the point. That's already in place. We're already utilizing it. I myself make transactions all the time, and I'm sure many listeners do, with something as simple called PayPal. It never changes my hand. It's all electronic. And things of that nature. We're already utilizing that. Here's the point. This has never, ever, ever happened in the history of mankind. But you and I are using it today. And here's what's funny. Dr. Monteith, again, as we're going through this, I'm just sharing the technology that, again, we are so immersed in, but yet how many people realize this is a clear-cut sign we are fast approaching the last days. And that's what we tried to share with on the final countdown. One last thing that I want to share about the sign of the Antichrist kingdom is it specifically says that he's going to have a mark of the beast being the Antichrist, he's going to have a mark where no one can buy or sell, and that by taking it, it's a sign of worship of the Antichrist. So all three of those are marked right there. You got this mark of the beast, he's got the authority, the government, and you can't buy or sell, that's your economy system, and it's a sign of worship, that's your one world religion. Well, somehow you're going to have to tie all that system together. Now, I can't reveal the names, but right now I know of people personally who are right now and have been working on probably for about the last 10 years, so it's been more than that, but these are the people that I know personally, who are tying all these databases that we just talked about with all your personal information, all your criminal, all your public information, all your economic system into one system. It's been mandated by the U.S. government. And first, what they're doing, their mode of attack, if you will, is to get the counties, the state counties, to interact and tie their computer systems together. Then once the counties of one particular state get all together, then they move to getting the states to communicate until it completely goes national. I know other people. I've seen the systems myself. It's actually being tied together. This whole system of government, economy, and then of course it's going to go towards with the mark of the beast, with the worship. Another thing that's interesting, that if you're going to be able to mark the whole world and control, you not only need to tie this system together, but you need some way to mark people. Okay, what is it that's going to happen, that's going to be on people, in people, whatever, that's going to either allow or prevent them from buying or selling? Well, right now, there's a technology that's out called RFID. That's radio frequency identification. And this information can be stored on products, or it can be stored in people. And it's a little tiny microchip. They vary in sizes. Some of the ones in people are about the size of a grain of rice. Some of the ones that go on products are so small, you don't even recognize them. They can even print them. You could have an RFID tracking device on the package labeling of something you buy. It could be the period, literally, on a description on the package, and yet you have no idea it's a tracking device. They're able to print this technology now.
In fact, they're putting them in animals. Certainly, if you get an animal from the SPCA, usually it'll have a chip in it. Why? Oh, it's so convenient, so they can track that animal. And if they can put them in animals, why not children in the certainly in the nurseries? Certainly, so that you certainly wouldn't want to go home with the wrong child, would you? Well, and of course, they always have an excuse for this. But the real purpose, of course, is for tracking people, because with a reader, they know exactly who you are, and then they can connect that to a global database and know everything about you, your family, your ancestors, every single thing about you. This is what it's all about, collecting data on every citizen in America, in the name of course protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave someplace. Of course, he's been actually dead for a number of years, but that doesn't matter. But, you know, they have to have that enemy out there so that people will cower and look to government to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden.
Exactly, you know, and I encourage the people, you know, you really need to get the videos, because on the videos, it's not only this information, but you will see the information with your own eyes with the video clips. Speaking of that issue with, you know, being able to track people, they're really promoting it, and it's not make-believe. I share on the Final Countdown series an actual interview with Aaron Russo, and he shares of how he was, he befriended one of the Rockefellers, and that basically he confided in Aaron Russo of what their plans were. And once Aaron Russo found out, he just, you know, halted the friendship. And but he shares on there that the Rockefeller had made no bones about it, that their plan is to get everybody into this microchip system, to get everybody literally, quote, on the planet, implanted with one of these devices, and if they don't do what we tell them, we will shut off their chip.
And, of course, let me just point out that you can actually see that on PrisonPlanet.com, PrisonPlanet.com, Google that in, and along with Aaron Russo, they have the interview where he tells about Nicholas Rockefeller telling him about their plan to have everybody chipped. But, of course, Aaron, unfortunately, isn't with us any longer. We do have some of his material we'll be offering here in the very near future. People must understand what's happening is not accidental. It's long-range planning by people who worship a different God. And once you understand that, so much this makes sense now. Our guest is Pastor Billy Crone. What he's offering is certainly the Final Countdown, and we carry it. Pastor Billy, why don't you go right ahead? Would you like to get your website out so people would know how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. You can reach us at NiagaraFrontierBible.com. That's NiagaraFrontierBible.com, NiagaraFrontierBible.com. Or you can just Google my name, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N as in Nancy, E, and that'll take you where you need to go.
And I really think you've done a wonderful, wonderful job with this series. And, of course, we're really only getting into the second of the series, the Final Countdown. There are 10 of them there. We certainly got the material today you have on the Revelation. And you've got so much other material. We'll be talking to our listeners in the future about that. I think that we really want to access the material. Where did you get all that wonderful video footage? Did you collect this on your own? Have people been sending it to you or what?
Well, you know, I guess after I got saved, one thing that happened to me was I became, I guess you'd call it in a good sense, a research junkie. And so a lot of stuff I'm always constantly researching, constantly studying, constantly teaching. And I basically catalog stuff, if you will. I store information. If I come across something, I may not use it right then, but I say, hey, that might come, you know, pretty good in the future. And I tuck it away. Also, though, too, recently, it's kind of cool how the Lord's brought together a great team of people, not only here at NFBC, at the church, but as we begin to share the truth with people, and there's people that's literally all over the world now who's really helping us out, and they come across stuff that it's just phenomenal. And I get emails every week, and people say, hey, check this out, look at this, I found this, that. And so it's really kind of neat. People don't realize it's almost like a grassroots movement effort, and everybody literally around the world, those who have the insight to see what's going on, are working together, and it truly is a cooperative effort, and everybody's trying their best to help people to see what's going on before it's too late.
And I think, really, of course, the video footage that are in all of these talks, certainly Pastor Billy gives a sermon, then he goes ahead and gives you the biblical background and flashes it up on the screen and goes over it step by step, you know, what it says in the Bible. But then you see the video verification of it. That's really what makes it so exciting. And I really want to thank you very much for being with us. We'll be talking to you later this week. And certainly, your information is so vitally important, especially in times like this. And I just hope people will watch it and it'll touch their lives and perhaps bring them into an understanding that we're involved in this spiritual battle. And that, of course, what the Bible says is absolutely true. We're seeing it being played out today.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's just, our heart's desire. If people even do get the media, one thing that we made a policy is we don't copyright our media for the express purpose that, if you get it, man, make as many copies as you want.
Hey, we're out of time. God died. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we actually are going to carry the things that Pastor Crone has put out. Basically, there are two of five DVD packets in the final countdown, part one, part two. And if you'd like to get them, they really are outstanding. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 if you're interested in learning more about the final countdown. But this is information that you should be using at your church, you should be using with your friends, and certainly as you watch this, and there are 10 one-hour DVDs. And you say that, yeah, whoever has time to watch 10 one-hour DVDs? Well, you can watch one whenever you have a chance, in the evening, you don't know what to do, but as you begin to analyze them and they come together, you begin to see the unfolding of events at the present time, just exactly as they were prophesied so many thousand years ago. So it's called The Final Countdown. There are DVDs. There are actually 10 talks, but of course, much more than talks. I mean, it's not simply a talking head at all, because, of course, you're actually going to see a great deal of video footage that Pastor Billy has accumulated, has gathered from across the world, and there are actually clips in there that I've been looking for a long time. He has them. It's an exciting experience, actually, to sit down and watch this and then look and see what's happening in the world today. It's called The Final Countdown. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But a wonderful thing to share with others, and first of all, to learn yourself so that you can speak intelligently about the things that are going on. And Pastor Billy has done an amazing job. I've known him for some time, and we've actually carried some of his previous material, but this is really outstanding, and of course, we're really looking forward to seeing some of the others. We just got some of them in the mail today on the Revelation, and of course, the story of the Revelation, so much of this is coming to pass today. But The Final Countdown is a good place to start. And of course, so give us a call if you'd like more information, or certainly excellent thing to play in your church, excellent thing to play for your neighbors, excellent thing to play for people who believe in the Scriptures or don't believe in the Scriptures, but at least they can begin to see how the Scriptures accurately foretell the times that we live in. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And of course, the DVD set, they're actually part one and part two of The Final Countdown, is what you ask about. And I think that you'll really be as impressed as I am on this, and hopefully as we watch the rest of them, why we'll have more and more material. Because this is the time when we have to reach people. And believe me, we're living in very difficult times. Certainly the war clouds are darkening over the Caucasus area, and certainly there in Eurasia, and it may very well that we will be at war with Russia in the not-too-distant future. Everything points to the fact that there will be an attack on Iran. Whether it'll be an Israeli attack or an American attack, we don't know, but the information we're getting from people who do know what lies out there suggests that we're moving into a very difficult situation militarily. But you see, this is what always happens. First of all, you create a great economic crisis, and of course people are out of work, people have losing their homes, they're losing their jobs, they're losing their life savings, and of course this time they're losing the value of their money through rampant inflation, and they're lying to the American people about inflation. It's really running about 13.58% at the present time, but you can't tell the American people that. I mean, they'd be furious with the people who are stealing everything they've worked their whole lives for, but this is exactly what Americans and what our government did to the Russian people back in the early 1990s. These Russian people had been scraping and saving their whole lives, you know, so that they could live comfortably when they retired. And we sent our people over there, and within a few months, why, we totally destroyed the value of their currency. These same philosophies are working here in America, and you're going to see this increasingly. And, of course, as it happens, more and more people are going to be looking for answers, and we've got to be there to give it to them. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Remember, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the future of Christian civilization. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who's an Israeli patriot who had been trying to expose the corruption over in Israel for 30 years. And I guess he stepped on the wrong toes because there were a number of efforts eliminate him, a number of threats on his life, which is why he, of course, moved to the United States. And, of course, as I hear it here on a regular basis, as he goes back over the history of what's happened to Israel in the past and, of course, what's happening to Israel today, as Israel is being betrayed by its leaders, just as the United States is being betrayed by our leaders, because these are men who have a different agenda. But, of course, the average Israeli doesn't know what to do because it doesn't seem to matter who he votes for. He always thinks things are going to get better, and they never do. Well, that is the background, Barry. Thank you so very much for being with us on short notice again tonight. Go ahead.
Always a pleasure.
Go right ahead. Well, what are some of the... Certainly, there's a lot of uncertainty over there. Certainly, the people in Israel are very, very concerned about what's happening, the unfolding of events, the increasing threats of war. What is their attitude towards what's going on? Do you think many of them have any idea at all what's transpiring?
They're watching. They're watching America this week, and so am I, and it's partly their own concern, but the John McCain
vice presidential choice is a tremendous source of laughter worldwide. I mean, we knew he was a maverick, but we didn't know he was totally nuts. I mean, this woman just lied to him. Now, I've been reading the media are calling the lies on the blogs about Sarah Palin. They're not lies, and it's all coming up. They're not lies. The fact is that she's got a daughter. Well, by the way, I mean, let's start off with her being a devoted Christian. They tried selling that. I was watching her being introduced, and the whole thing stunk, and I felt that it stunk. But when selling her as a devoted Christian, I don't know a Christian family whose children are named Track and Trig and Piper and Willow. I mean, these are very Christian names. You can tell how devoted she is. But the daughter, Bristol, is going to get her fired. McCain will have to remove her. She's another Thomas Eagleton. The daughter had two illegitimate babies, and this is not just rumor. The daughter was taken out of school for 2 months. At the same time, we hear that the mother announces she's pregnant. The daughter had two illegitimate babies. She lied. She lied to McCain, but whoever vetted this vice president, I hope they're fired pretty quickly.
Well, of course, many people that feel it was a wise choice because it would tend to rally the Christian conservative movement behind McCain. They really weren't very happy about McCain, or certainly most of the people he would consider. And so at least the image we have of Sarah Palin is that she's a devoted Christian. And I think that the average Christian already, of course, championed that idea. But we'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Samus as we explore what, from his point of view, from his radio point of citizen's point of view, what's going on in America. Go ahead, Barry.
Oh, yeah. The first day I received a reaction, too, that was favorable, and I said, you fell for it. You just fell for it. And I said, it won't be long. You're going to find out. You don't take an unknown from Alaska, believe every word she says, and then you find out the daughter is 17, she's still in high school, her hockey player boyfriend will marry her as soon as he can. That's bad enough. But the business about the she has a retarded baby. It was her daughter's baby. The daughter has had two illegitimate babies, and I don't care how Christian you claim you are, you can't have that as the vice president of a 72-year-old president. She could become president of this country, and you can't have a wacky woman like this. You find out that she abused her powers, that her sister was married to a state trooper, and he was beating her up, and she got the state trooper fired. It's such a wrong, stupid, idiotic choice that he's going to have to get rid of her, or it's going to be a case of nonstop jokes about McCain until the election. He could actually lose it. Now, Biden is a very different animal for the Jews. I mean, the stuff is coming out, and we spoke about this last time briefly, but Biden is downright dangerous as well. Now, I remember an incident that's being brought up again in Israel, that during the Lebanon War of 82, Menachem Begin went to Washington to testify to the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee, and Biden stood up. He was just a skinny little guy back then and young, and he bangs his fist on the table, and he threatens to cut off aid to Israel if settlement activity doesn't stop. Now, Begin showed him up and said, tables are not for hitting, they're for using. He says, you don't hit a table and threaten us. We're grateful for your money, but it doesn't give you the right to tell us how to use it. And he really, really told him
off. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Barry is expressing his opinion that Sarah Palin was not a wise choice on the part of McCain for the vice presidency. I think, of course, this flies in the against the attitude of many Christians across America who felt that this was a good choice, but then apparently there are parts of the story that we've not heard. Then, of course, Barry talks about Joe Biden, of course, is the vice presidential candidate for Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, incidentally. And of course, Biden, of course, has not been a friend of Israel's. In fact, Barry was telling about when Menachem Begin went to Israel many years ago to testify before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Biden was a very young man at that time. He stood up, he struck his head, his fist on the table, and told Begin that they were going to have to stop, building the settlements, putting the settlements on the West Bank. And Menachem Begin told him the tables were not for hitting, and they appreciated American money, but they would not be told how they were going to run their country. Pick the story up there, Barry.
Yeah, those were the good old days when Israel had leadership and weren't pushed around. But there's another story going out and comes from the New Republic. This was on the day after 9/11, was in the week after 9/11. There was another committee meeting, and Biden had a tremendous idea. He offered Iran a $200 million gift to show America's friendship to what he called the Arab world. Biden was offering Iran $200 million for nothing, just to show that Americans aren't anti-Arab. By the way, the Persians are not Arabs, so that was one mistake. But nonetheless, after 9/11, when the country is in absolute shock, he wants Iran to have a $200 million gift. But this is more frightening because very recently, this year, Biden told Israel Iran is going nuclear and just live with it.
Yes, I've read that, and just, I would not think that that would endear the Israeli people, the Jewish people in America, to Joe Biden. The thing is that traditionally the Jewish people have largely voted for the Democrat, but with Joe Biden there, he's going to drive a lot of them into the Republican camp, don't you think?
Oh, don't be silly. Jews, they'll never vote Republican. It's not in their... I could actually do an analysis of where this came from, but it'll never happen.
All right.
They will actually vote. And by the way, the Jewish soul is being stretched to the limit to vote for Obama. That goes against every piece of logic in the Jewish mentality, but they'll do it. They'll actually do it. Now, I mean, Biden's thinking the next step would be to give Iranians the right to inspect American nuclear facilities. I mean, this guy Biden was once a presidential candidate. He was forced to resign for plagiarizing speeches from England, and now he's back as the VP candidate. Somebody is saying, let's make the most hilarious election we can put together. I can't wait till Biden has a public debate with Palin, except Palin will be fired before then. McCain cannot live with his joke any longer. The reports from the Republican convention are that that she is, that some way has got to be found to get rid of her. All we can say from the Jewish heart is that Biden is no good for the Jews. Obama is a disaster. Oh, they're all one way or another way connected to the Council on Foreign Relations. Anyways, doesn't matter who you vote for. But I want to bring up something in Israel that I wrote about this week, and I think you should hear about it.
All right, you go right ahead, Barry.
Now, it's not for your listeners to know what a World Jewish Congress is. There are so many Jewish organizations, but nonetheless, this one was founded by Samuel Bronfman, I believe in the 40s. They were around during the Holocaust. Samuel Bronfman was a bootlegger from Montreal who made a lot of money and with a lot of violence. That's where the Bronfmans came from, bootlegging. If anyone doesn't know, Seagram's was founded by the Bronfmans. And I, by the way, when I go and buy drinks and I see Seagram's ginger ale, I don't buy it. I don't buy anything from Seagram's. I'm not going to give these people anything. I don't care if I was dying of thirst. I'm not drinking Seagram's ginger ale.
Oh, right, fine.
Now, lately, they have been running to the Vatican, and I don't know why the Vatican invites them, but members of the World Jewish Congress, and remember, well, we'll get to the Bronfmans in 1 second, have been attending meetings at the Vatican, and, well, you go figure it out, but there's something more important that I wrote about this week. Now, Edgar Bronfman was the head of the World Jewish Congress until very recently, because a friend of mine, he's bought all my books, he's been on my email list for 10 years, he's a World Jewish Congress executive named Izzy Liebler, lives in Jerusalem. He exposed a massive embezzlement scheme, and Bronfman was forced to retire by the New York courts. He wasn't just forced by Izzy Liebler. It went to trial, and Bronfman was ordered to step down. Now, Bronfman, as we well know, well, anyone who listens to me or reads to me, I guess not that well known. Nonetheless, he is a very high-ranking member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Remembering, of course, there are only 4,200 members in the Council on Foreign Relations, and the number of executives, with any say, is probably in the hundreds. This is very significant. Now, when I heard that he had to resign for allowing, forget why, just a lot of theft, I said he is never going to give up the ship. The CFR is using the World Jewish Congress for horrendously nefarious reasons. So who was named to replace Edgar Bronfman as the chairman of the World Jewish Congress? As I rightly predicted, a member of the CFR, Ronald Lauder. And by the way, I don't buy makeup, but if I did, I would not buy Estee Lauder products either. He is the head of the World Jewish Congress, Ronald Lauder. Now, I reported a tremendously disturbing meeting that was held on August 22nd in Venezuela, where a delegation from the World Jewish Congress, led by one Michael Schneider, met with Hugo Chavez, and they had, I guess, a series of meetings, because Michael Schneider announced that there were some disagreements But no one here is leaving believing that Hugo Chavez is an anti-Semite. Now, first of all, why is the World Jewish Congress going to Venezuela to interview, today's version of Castro, a deep enemy of the United States? Why, who gives them permission to make a maneuver like that? But it wasn't 1 week after their meeting when the World Jewish Congress decided that Hugo Chavez was no anti-Semite, that a tremendous announcement made world news, Venezuela and Hezbollah. That's the incredibly anti-Israel Shiite leadership of Lebanon, who beat Israel in a war two summers ago, had now been brought closer together by Iran, and that Venezuela will now be extremely dangerous for Jews because Hezbollah operatives were using the country to kidnap Jews and take them back to Lebanon to be used for God knows what. The imagination staggers at what a pile of Jews hijacked from Venezuela to Lebanon could be used for. But that was the announcement that came out a mere less than a week after the World Jewish Congress met with Hugo Chavez. Oh, I hear music.
Well, you go right ahead. I'll tell you when we have to do that stop. But anyway, of course, it's a little incongruous. On one hand, the World Jewish Congress is saying that Hugo Chavez is not anti-Semitic. On the other hand, of course, his country is going to be used as a base for capturing Jews and or kidnapping them and sending them overseas for whatever purpose. There's so many things going on in the world today, Barry, that just don't make any logical sense. Do you ever have that feeling?
Well, I'm starting to get the rhythm of wickedness. All you have to do is put yourself into their shoes, and there's a kind of logic behind it all.
There sure is, but of course, if you look at things logically, it doesn't make any sense. If you realize that we're involved in a spiritual battle and we're dealing with organized evil, everything makes sense. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, don't forget that it was Edgar Bronfman's brother, Charles Bronfman, who sued the Swiss banking system and he won. He got the bank accounts of Holocaust victims who had put their assets into Swiss banks and, of course, couldn't claim them because they were dead. He won the case and was granted $6.5 billion. Of which not a penny went to the families of the actual Holocaust victims. Now, I can make perfect sense out of this. He found a great way to get rich. $6.5 billion is a fortune. And he stuck it in his own back pocket.
Well, can't some of the offspring of the people who died in the Holocaust simply bring a suit to try to get some of that money, for their own purposes, rather than giving it to the Bronfmans, who are already multi-billionaires?
They have tried that ever since the war ended. The Holocaust families and the survivors have gotten a bookus, almost nothing. And a lot of people have gotten very, very rich. And I'm not talking just Jews. The Swiss had 40 years of interest on $6.5 billion. It's horrible, the treatment of the dead victims of the Holocaust, but it's worse that their families got nothing for those deaths. Nothing. They got some German reparations, and that's it. But let's return, before we get lost, at the horrible Bronfman brothers. We have discussed how they've taken over Israeli industry. We've discussed their role in robbing the Israeli people blind, the Jewish people blind. but there a strange announcement today, just today. Well, I received it from Israel. The announcer is, I don't know if I'd call him a good friend, but I've certainly known this guy. He is a good journalist, David Bedin. And we've known each other for a long time and occasionally even cooperated. David Bedin sent out a press notice all over the place. I was fortunate enough to receive it. Now, all right. You don't know his name. First time I've ever used his name. However, let's do it. Salman Fayyad is the leader of the Palestinian Authority. I assume that he's more powerful than even Mahmoud Abbas from this press report. Nonetheless, he is going to be speaking to a private audience at the Inbal Hotel in Jerusalem, which is, I mean, this is the enemy. This man is responsible over the years the PLO have murdered, I guess, thousands of Jews. It's that bad. And now they're selling tickets for a Meet Salman Fayyad evening at the Inbal Hotel. But as David Bedin points out...
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly there's a man, Mr. Fayyad, who's one of the chief of PLO of terrorists. He coordinates the terrorist movement for them. He's going to be speaking in Jerusalem in the very near future. They're selling tickets, and this gentleman, who Barry has known for many years, has put out a press release. And what's this all about? Why are they bring this Palestinian terrorist into Jerusalem to give a talk there? And who's buying the tickets to it?
Well, who's giving it is what's of interest, and I do believe after all this time, and David Bedin, by the way, was a valuable source on numerous occasions in my books, but rarely do I mention him. He's given me information with the caveat that I don't mention that it came through him, Well, one chapter on the murder of tourism minister Rehavam Ze'evi, and the connection back to Shimon Peres did come through him. You're hearing this only on this show. In my book, he is just informant number one. There were two of them when I spoke about this. Nonetheless, let's go back to David Bedin's announcement. Salman Fayyad's an evening with Salman Fayyad at the Inbal Hotel Jerusalem can only be purchased. Tickets are available only through the World Jewish Congress, who had just returned from Venezuela, and a week later Venezuela is planning to kidnap Jews, and the Israeli Council on Foreign Relations.
Well, isn't that convenient? Are they tied into the American Council on Foreign Relations?
Of course they are. I have been trying for years to... Oh, wait a second. Don't tell me the name slipped. Michael? It'll hit me. I have been exposing this guy for years. The Israeli CFR is incredibly dangerous. And yes, they are tied up to the American Council on Foreign Relations. I'm kicking myself. Kimchi, that's his name. David Kimchi is the head of the Israeli Council on Foreign Relations. One of these days we'll dive into this deal. He's Oxford educated. Initially, he spoke terrible Hebrew, but was invited to Israel, I believe, in the 60s, where he was made an executive of the Mossad immediately. He's a long-time, deep intelligence asset. He is the head of the Council on Foreign Relations in Israel, and he is arranging the evening with Salman Fayyad.
And if I could just briefly mention, of course, that there's always been a tie-in between these various occult organizations and of course, the intelligence agency. You go back to Elizabethan England, and certainly the tie-in is beautifully brought out in a DVD which we offer called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And even in the 1600s, by the secret societies, the Rosicrucians were tied into intelligence. Now, well, what does that have to do with what today? Well, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations is a front for a secret society. This is covered by Professor Quigley in his wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, History of the World in Our Time, on pages 951 and 952. And the Council on Foreign Relations of the United States ties to the Royal Institute of International Affairs and all the Commonwealth countries, and apparently ties into the other branch over there in Israel. But remember, when you talk about the CFR, you're talking about a front for a secret society that has its foundation in the occult. This is what everybody misses. Pick up this story there, Barry.
I'll leave you with the World Jewish Congress.
All right.
I'm repeating it, so maybe it'll be remembered. Edgar Bronfman was chairman. He was forced to resign. Ronald Lauder, also of the CFR, took over. I guess he gave the order to go to Venezuela. A week later, Venezuela opens its borders to Hezbollah kidnappers, and they're looking for Jewish targets. And, 3, 4 days later, tickets are now on sale to hear the head of the Palestinian Authority, Salman Fayyad. You pick up your tickets through the World Jewish Congress and the Israeli Council on Foreign Relations. You know, it's so obvious to me, all this stuff. The Dean finally saw the connection, and he turned it into a press announcement. I've only been working on him for over a dozen years.
It takes a long time before people can begin to connect the dots, and because it's also incredible. And yet, of course, there is a common denominator out there, and your job and mine is to try to tie things together, get people to think. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Sammons. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Barry Sammis. Barry, go right ahead.
Well, I think we should note that the CFR run the Israeli Prime Minister, Ehud Olmert. Condoleezza Rice is now in Israel. At this very moment, she's in Israel forcing her version of peace down Olmert's throat. And there is no question of resistance, by the way. Whatever she threatens Olmert with, he does. There's no Menachem Begin to tell Joe Biden to quit stamping his fists on the table. No Israeli leader is capable of that today. We've lost all that. Boy, do we need Menachem Begin back. That's a separate story. But look what was released this week. First of all, your friend and mine, Aaron Klein, did a major story that Olmert has released Jerusalem for negotiations with the PLO. Olmert is now going to divvy up Jerusalem, turn it into Belfast or Beirut or Berlin. It's a shame Jerusalem doesn't start with a B, because it's going to be divided, and there's going to be violence, and it's going to take, well, in the case of Belfast, it was hundreds of years of violence. Beirut can pop any time, and now Jerusalem is going to be divided, and that means people are going to die there. Now, what Olmert did this week, and I suppose it was because Rice was coming, and he didn't, he just was following orders, okay? That's what the leaders of Israel say. Like the SS, we were just following orders. he pardoned 48 more Palestinians. Now, this was done quietly. They didn't make a fuss about it. There's the difference between the a prisoner release of last week, 198 to be exact, wanted murderers, they had blood in their hands. There was a little teeny bit of an objection from the Israeli public, who are now thoroughly worn out, and they don't object to anything anymore. They just lay back and slap their faces and say, what is Omer doing today, and just accept it. Well, the difference was that these were pardoned.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Barry Semmes. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Barry simply talking. A week ago or so, they've released 200 hardened terrorists, many of them confirmed murderers. The Israelis released them without anything in return. And, of course, this week, why Omer's going to release another 40 or more terrorists. And why are these different than the murderers they released last week?
Because they weren't captured.
Okay, fine.
These are wanted. These are wanted criminals. They're on the Israeli police most wanted list. They are now granted amnesty.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that pleasant? All pretense of justice is gone now. If you are a member of Fatah, or the PLO, it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to get released from prison. You're going to get amnesty. You can go on being a terrorist free of charge. Israel no longer pursues you. That's what happened this week. 48 wanted, terrorists. What are we talking about here? These aren't bank robbers. These are people who are trying to hurt Jews. That's what they are. Well, they've been pardoned. They're no longer on the wanted list. And there's something else that Omer did this week that I think you should know about. He offered the PLO part of the Negev Desert and a free road through the heart of Israel, connecting Gaza with the West Bank to make them both contiguous. Okay? Now, here's the thinking behind it. First of all, who says that there is a balance of justice here? There's no equivalence between the state of Israel and the territories given to the PLO for diplomatic reasons that we won't discuss today, but Israel is a nation, and the Palestinian Authority is nothing but a haven for acts against Israel. Olmert, in exchange for a few settlement blocks, 3% of the West Bank, offered to take an equivalent amount of land out of the Negev Desert and give it to the Palestinian Authority along with a contiguous road. In other words, if you live in Efrat or you live in Karnei Shomron, these are settlement blocks, you can keep on living there because we're giving away the Negev to the PLO instead of you. And believe it or not, the PLO so far have turned down this offer. But Rice of the CFR, I'm going to repeat that until it's deeply embedded in everyone's consciousness, Rice of the CFR is now in Israel ordering Olmert to lift roadblocks, to release Palestinians, to give up as much land from outside the war zone in the Negev Desert, all to create a peace that won't last. Well, it just won't last. It's that simple. The Palestinians want Tel Aviv, and they want Herzliya. They could care less about the Negev Desert. But all this happened this week.
All right, and that is, of course, Condoleezza Rice, the American Secretary of State. Of course, she's a longtime part of the establishment. She's worked for a Chevron oil company, was on the board of directors before. In fact, they even named an oil tanker after the Condoleezza Rice. And it's disappeared. It's never been seen again. Well, of course, they just changed the name of it. They did not want, of course, to let people understand the close working relationship between the Bush administration and the major oil companies and the establishment, the Council on Foreign Relations, the invisible government, which, of course, right now is pressuring Israel into making impossible concessions. Concessions that will not bring peace, but only will weaken the position of Israel as they move intentionally and purposely to destroy Israel. And this is what the purpose and the major thrust of our leaders in Washington, D.C. is today, but the average person has no idea what's really going on. So go right ahead, Barry. And
sure.
Before we do, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and get your copies of your DVDs, how they get your books, and how they get your website?
Well, the books, you go to www.lulu.com. Lulu is L-U-L-U. .com. You'll see a little box that says search right in my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H, that's Chamish, and you'll get to my books. I'd look at Bye Bye Gaza first. It's the most up-to-date. The website is still www.barrychamish.com. I'll leave a phone number for my DVDs, which are not sold by Lulu, there's going to be a new one of these days. I sent you an audio version of Shapite's V, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust. A video version will be around one of these days. And my phone number, if you'd like to order the DVDs, is 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. Now, back we go. I wrote an article this week, and apparently people really liked it. I'm getting great response. But one of the subjects was keeping the American Jews absolutely ignorant of the real diplomacy and politics of Israel. American Jews don't know anything about the Council on Foreign Relations and Condoleezza Rice's membership, and Albright, Kissinger, Brzezinski, Vance, Mondale, everyone who's been destroying Israel at the highest and lowest levels comes from the CFR. They don't know this, and the primary reason is that the Jewish press is just a tool of the CFR, the Jewish federations collect donations, and they funnel some of the donations back into the local Jewish newspapers, who hire people who would never, ever have the courage to actually do something independently of their bosses. Now, I wrote an article on the power of these charitable organizations, because, lucky for me, I worked for them all. at different times in my long stay in Israel, I worked for the Israel Bonds and the United UJA, it's now the Jewish Federations, and the Jewish National Fund. I worked for them all, and I got good stories from every one of them. Now, you have to understand, when I first started working for the UJA, I had a boss. His name was Hesh Keston, and he said to me, don't expect this to be a career. Most of the writers don't make it through 6 months. He said, if you're any good, you'll last a year. After that, you'll leave. And I found out he was right. I lasted more than a year. But nonetheless, the deceit, you weren't doing journalism. You were doing PR. And there was any truth that in any way defied the image of Israel that the federations were selling the American Jews, was just simply not accepted. It was never printed. And some of the PR was PR outright, but some of it, they gave you real assignments, and you just were not allowed to write the truth. And I'm talking about at all levels of journalism. It wasn't journalism. Now, I presented a very good story. It's actually a long article, but I'm going to talk about my friend Jenny. She and I work for these charitable organizations for quite a long time, maybe 3-4 years. She's still doing it. To let you know, she actually still takes assignments from them. But she told me a story one day that has really stuck in my mind. I thought it was a terrific story, and I'm going to tell it to you.
Go right ahead.
Oh, I hear music.
No, you don't. Go ahead.
Okay. So Ginny gets an assignment where she has to do a schlock piece. A schlock piece in English would be a sugar puff, cream puff, marshmallow, sentimental piece. A schlock piece, we used to call them, about poor Israeli children. Because the charitable organizations were trying to tug at the heartstrings and get some money for poor Israeli children. So she was sent on assignment to interview poor Israeli children. And she wrote the story. Now, she interviewed a kid, I guess 7, 8 years old, and she asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he said he wanted to be a bus driver. So Judy wrote an article, and within was the quote from this little kid. I believe his name was Shlomo, if my memory serves me well. And she wrote exactly what he said, that when he grows up, he wants to be a bus driver. Now, she takes it to her editor. And editors, by the way, of the charity organizations, they can take all the lies, all the deceit. That's they have survived the initiation of writing the fluff and somehow like it or are willing to grit their teeth, but they get hired to edit these so-called stories, these pieces. So she, Ginny gives the article to the editor. Her name was Wendy, for accuracy and no other reason. And Wendy takes her pencil, rubs out Shlomo's quote, "When I grow up, I want to be a bus driver." She changes it to, "When I grow up, I want to be a doctor." And Jenny is stunned. She's says to Wendy, but he didn't say he wanted to be a doctor. Said he wants to be a bus driver. And Wendy answers her, "It doesn't matter what he said. It matters what he should have said." And Jenny answers, "But this is dishonest journalism." To which Wendy, she was from England, answered, "And who's going to know? He certainly will never read this." This basic story to me is the total microcosm of the news American Jews get from Israel. It everyone wants to be a doctor. Everyone's eating chicken soup. They go to the deli for corned beef sandwiches. They painted Israel in a version of American Jewish life. And if you go against it, for instance, in Israel, driving a bus is a very honorable profession. It's a little dangerous. Buses do get blown up. But you earn a good living there. Well, that has to go. Because in America, a bus driver is a lowly job. It's that simple. That's how the minds are twisted. Now, the biggest twist that ever took place was during the Holocaust, when American Jews literally didn't know a Holocaust was taking place through their own media, because their own media didn't report it. And any articles, and we've done this show before, we're going to go and repeat things that we did a very marvelous series a few weeks back on American Jewry and the Holocaust. And nonetheless, the American Jews stayed aloof from the Holocaust because they were not told it was taking place by the labor Zionist midstream Jewish media. The one way they knew it was taking place, and it was too late, was through the Irgun, who sent someone named Hillel Cook to America to tell the Jews there to pressure the American government and stop the Holocaust. Now, Hillel Cook, his name, by the way, in America was Peter Bergson. He had to fight. Now, I'm going to say Sabbatean, but it's not the place, really. But the American Jews were led by the head of the Reform Movement, Rabbi Stephen Wise. Stephen Wise made sure that Peter Bergson, or Hillel Cook in his Israeli name, never had any success whatsoever, because Rabbi Weiss was working for the Sabbateans. And we've done this already. Maybe someday we'll repeat what that means, but the Irgun were fighting a very evil and rotten branch of Judaism called the Sabbateans. Let's leave it at that for now. Now, a very peculiar thing happened. More than peculiar, awful. There, in the United States, there's an institute called the David Wyman Institute for Holocaust Studies. It opened an entire exhibit dedicated to Hillel Cook and his work to get the American Jews awake to the Holocaust. And then it petitioned Yad Vashem. That is the official Holocaust memorial. It petitioned Yad Vashem to also open a permanent exhibit dedicated to Hillel Cook. They refused. So the Wyman Institute gathered a petition from the top Holocaust writers and Israeli politicians that the Yad Vashem would recognize the work of Hillel Cook and his attempt to awaken American Jews to the Holocaust. But Yad Vashem refused. Now remember, Yad Vashem is... Oops. Do I hear music?
You hear music. Go ahead.
All right. You interrupt me then. Yad Vashem is where the permanent a lamp burns for the Holocaust. They're the ones who decide who are righteous Gentiles. It's the headquarters.
Well, that's all. We'll be back in just a moment.
Right.
Go right ahead, Barry.
Now, when Yad Vashem won't open an exhibit of truly the greatest hero working in America to save the Jews of Europe, you have to wonder why. Now, the reason, of course, is they're protecting Rabbi Stephen Wise and the Sabbateans and so on and so forth. There are reasons for this. The head of Yad Vashem was saying, he's a Hungarian named Yossi Lapid. Now, this is very important, because Yad Vashem last month accepted the personal archive of Rudolf Kastner, calling him a hero. Now, I'm going to remind you, I know I'm pouring out so much detail But it would be a shame if you didn't remember, Kastner was the representative of the Jewish agency of labor Zionism to the Nazi war machine. Kastner flew to Hungary and negotiated personally with Adolf Eichmann. Eichmann offered him all 800,000 Jews trapped in Hungary for non-military trucks. The figure, I believe, is 10,000. He would release 800,000 Jews for 10,000 trucks, which the world Jews would have no trouble buying 10,000 trucks. Kastner told him, forget it. I want the following list of 3,000 Jews saved. And he got those 3,000 Jews. In the meantime, Kastner was taken to concentration camps to save his friends, family, and other Sabbateans. He actually saw the camps in action wearing an SS uniform. He was murdered in Israel in 1957. I found a witness. We know that the Shabak Israel Secret Services murdered him, but the fact remains that Yad Vashem, which is supposed to honor the Holocaust, turned down an exhibit of a true hero, Hillel Cook, and accepted in its personal archives that of Rudolf Kastner.
We're out of time, Barry. God bless, and thanks very much. We'll look forward to talking to you later this week.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Fine. That was Barry Shemesh. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed Barry. You're getting a Jewish perspective on what's going on in the world today, and Barry is certainly not loath at all to be very critical of the Jews who betrayed the other Jews, the Sabbateans, and of course I believe that this is really a satanic movement, a small satanic movement, but a very powerful satanic movement within the Jewish religion, as there are similar movements within the Catholic, within the Protestant religion, all throughout the world today, because we're truly involved in a spiritual battle being played on a political and ideological and cultural battlefields. If you'd like, of course, to get the interviews with Barry Shemesh, we can provide them for you. We do talk through the interviews, so that through the breaks, so there's a lot of information sometimes that you don't get, and I try to summarize that at the end of the break so that you will begin to see how it all fits together. But unfortunately, Israel is being betrayed by its leaders. But then the United States is being betrayed by its leaders. They are planning on destroying the value of our currency, and they're in the process of doing that. And with that, they will impoverish the American people just as they impoverished the Russian people in the early 1990s, and certainly cooperated with Argentina in impoverishing their people, certainly at the beginning of this century. These things are happening all throughout the world because there really are small groups of people who run what's going on. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. Watch the DVD, and if you can't afford it, go up to the website at radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. Scroll down to videos, and then scroll through the videos till you get to the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can watch it there, and it'll give you the basic the whole background behind what's going on in the world today against the backdrop of Agatha Christie's wonderful book, The Murder on the Orient Express, and Monsieur Perrault, who is the Belgian detective, who is trying to solve the murder on the Orient Express, who makes the observation, there are too many clues. There are too many clues. And that's exactly what's going on today. That's why people can't see what's going on. They've planted too many clues out there to confuse us. So certainly if you would like to get further into the understanding of what's going on, my talk on the forbidden secret or on the secret knowledge, but you need to get the syllabus with the forbidden secret so you can really understand what is taking place today. My talk on the planned police state going into the concentration camps. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are concentration camps here, and you can read about them on the internet. They're refurbishing the Japanese concentration camps from the Second World War. oh, because we would never want the American people to forget how terrible it was to put people in concentration camps. And then we're kidnapping people and sending them to other countries to be tortured. What sort of madness is that? And where is the outcry from the American people about what's going on, about the fact that our government is using torture today, just like the Nazis did? And, oh, we're not like the Nazis. We just have to get the information from these people to protect the American public. And a lot of these are very innocent people. Some of them are not. Some of them have been recruited into this Islamic terrorist movement, largely with money that's come from the CIA, to create the best enemies money could buy. Because if we didn't have an enemy, how would we be able to justify all the monitoring of the American people and collecting dossiers on the American people? And so many of the things that are going on today, we carry a wonderful book. It's called The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game. Who do you think organized Hamas? Who do you think brought the radical Ayatollahs to power that now, of course, we're aligned against? Who actually helped Saddam Hussein when he was using the poison gas on the Iranian troops? I've talked to members of the Green Beret, at least one of them, who was there working as an advisor to Saddam Hussein's forces, and they used poison gas in violation of every international law, of course, to poison the Iranian troops. Most of them were just literally teenagers or even younger who were, of course, being thrown into battle after their lives destroyed. A million people died in that war, and we were funding both sides. So there's really nothing new under the sun. Understand, we're against organized evil today. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.